Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates. Enjoy.
Called him a lanky piece of shit.
Because he keeps avoiding people. He don't want to... I'm not getting on anything, but if he wanted 50 million to fight Wilder, why are they giving 50 million? Why didn't he fight him? Then now all of a sudden, because Wilder's fighting Fury, and all of a sudden, he wants to fight Wilder. Before Tyson Fury come back, he said, oh, I want to fight Fury, he's a fat piece or whatever, whatever. No, Fury's back. Outbox Wilder, he doesn't want to fight Fury all of a sudden. I wrote my way up to number one. You know,
BarkingWiz.com. When I say I promise you, I'm going to knock out the Gypsy King as well.
Solid Evening RQ Productions.
How?
Why
are you gonna let this little skinny
spaghetti hit, man?
I'm
just gonna lie, and I'm the number one.
Morning, TBV, and welcome back to another morning edition of the Boxing Voice. I am your host, Nestor Gibbs, joined alongside Mario Munguia and Michael Gross. We will be bringing you another morning edition. Unfortunately, this one is taking us, or me at least, I'm taken a bit back by this information. I can understand that this is probably a hypothetical scenario by one Frank Warren, but where there's smoke, there is fire, and this is hitting way too close for home. We'll bring you all the details, but what you must know is that Frank Warren has outlined where a future Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury clash could take place, and says that both TV platforms should share broadcast rights. What does that mean? Elementary, my dear Watson. No different than, you know, what was it? Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis, Mayweather, Pacquiao were two broadcasters from the same country, split pay-per-view revenue, put on a fight that the fight fans wanted to see regardless of politics. So this is what Frank Warren is talking about. You know, he's obviously willing to negotiate. And we'll get into the details. You know the number to call in, 1-425-569-5241. Press 1 time to voice your opinion on this topic. Remember to just press 1 time. You can also add Nestor Gibbs on Skype. So don't type in the chat when you can just Skype and let your voice be heard. I want to remind everyone at 9:30 a.m. we should have UK's own Anthony Fowler, super welterweight out of the UK. We'll be having a fight pretty soon, either with Fitzgerald or Ted Cheeseman. Also, we'll have at 3 o'clock UK time, the son of a legend, Conor Benn Jr. I don't know if we should call him Jr., but Conor Benn will be on. It's not Jr., right? Because his father's name is Nigel Benn. What are you doing, Ness? Early in the morning, I'm going to pass the ball to my co-host out in Indiana. What's going on, Mike?
I speak it. Believe it, receive it. Speak it, believe it, receive it. Speak it, believe it, receive it. I can't say it enough. I speak it, believe it.
With a pimp, two attempts, handed bands over. Sicko hit, shot and miss, two to stand over.
Turn up!
Red winner, huh? Look who in the building. Let me check my Instagram. I might be at a million.
And I'm in.
BoxingWiz.com.
Yo, 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 yo. Good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody out there in TBV land. Yes, Frank Warren has came out and did a Sky Sports and BT Sports pay-per-view for Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. That right there really shocked me last night when I read the article. And I should have did more reading because I had the article first, but I didn't really look at it. And I just think that I think it's a smart move business-wise if you're trying to get the best thing for your fighter, but man, I thought we had a rematch going on, but let me not speak too soon. Let me not say that this fight is going to happen. It is all speculation, but what's going on, Mario?
All right, no drop in there. That's cool. Yo, what is up, everybody? What is going on? I got my coffee, got my muscle milk, got my water, everything for early morning games.
Hey, Mario.
Right on time, baby. There you go. And so, yeah, man, I'm ready to talk it up, chop it up. This is very exciting topic, and I cannot wait to get into it. You know, but I just want to thank everybody joining us from the UK to the West Coast. I know it's early. It's early for me, too, 8 in the morning here in Central Time, Texas. And so, yeah, man, let's not even waste any time. Let's chop this up. This is a great fight to be talking about.
First things first, if you're just tuning in to the live stream, don't forget to hit the thumbs up button. It's the absolutely easiest, freest way to support the podcast. And if you love podcasts, head on over to iTunes.com and or iTunes, right? I don't really know if it's iTunes.com, but definitely iTunes on all your mobile phones, on all your iPads, on all your Macs, and even non-Apple devices, and drop us a five-star review and help us remain number one on iTunes and across the world. There's Apple stores in every country, so you can drop us a review in your respected country, and we will still be able to read that review live on air, regardless of rating. Also want to remind everybody, if you want to ask Anthony Fowler a question and have it read live on the show this morning and Connor Ben, head on over to patreon.com/theboxingvoice. Download the free Patreon app on both Android app market and the iPhone Apple store. It's absolutely the best way to be notified of all the exclusive extra content that you won't get to see anywhere else other than the Boxing Voices Patreon. So Frank Warren said that, you know, Joshua's cash cow, and he makes a lot of money. So why don't you just let BT and Sky share the pay-per-view? No need in being, you know, so shrewd and tough at the negotiation table when we should just be giving the fight fans what they want. I'm not going to get too deep. I'm going to stop right there and just get your thoughts on, I guess, Frank's approach at trying to sell this fight, not only to the public, but to Eddie Hearn and Anthony Joshua, saying, you know what, look, you guys make a lot of money. Let's just do a split pay-per-view like they do in America, because later in the article, all the way towards the end, this is exactly what he says, like they do in the States. You know, so let's just let the network split the pay-per-view, and we handle the fight.
Now, listen, I'll tell you that I don't know if it's, like, smart on Frank Warren's part because it's going to work, but it certainly is a classic move. I'll give him that. You're always going to upsell your fighter. Not that I don't believe that Tyson Fury deserves 50-50. I just don't think it's logistically realistic. I do not believe that they will share anything. You know, it reminds me a little bit, and I don't know if I'm going to catch heat for this or not, but it reminds me a little bit of the Canelo Golovkin situation where you have like this golden boy who's a good fighter, who you can't take anything away from. But then you have this other side who's kind of dogged it out and worked hard. And, I mean, some of it is because he put, you know, that extra stress on his own back. But you can't take away from the fact that he got Wilder first. And that's worth something to me. That's worth something to boxing fans. That puts the lineal back in Tyson Fury's name, in my opinion. Not that it should have ever left, but – you know, it's really hard to see him in that light when everything went down the way it did. So you look at Tyson Fury's side and you say, well, you know, we see ourselves as the man who beat Wilder. Fuck that. We see the ones as the side that had the balls to fight Wilder first. Now we're coming into this fight. We want Joshua. We already handled that Wilder business. This is a 50-50 fight to us. I think it would have been better if he would have, you know, it probably would have hurt his chances if he would have started saying that they deserve the A side. You know, it probably would have scared off Joshua. So this was the smart route. Let's go 50-50. Let's chop it up. And hey, guess what? That's not a bad idea for a lot of fucking people out there. Spence Crawford, let's go 50-50. You know, Munguia Hurd, let's go 50. Well, I don't even know where Munguia is going to end up for sure. But, you know, whoever, like, we go across these platforms.
Some guys, hold on. Let me not let this guy ramble. Some guys deserve 50-50, or there's a case that could be made. I don't know if anyone truly deserves 50-50 when there's guys like, you know, Jarrett Hurd and Anthony Joshua laying down the groundwork for their division. capitalizing, bringing in all the belts, and now you want to say that a guy who has one belt, who's done less, deserves
that's a fair point.
50-50
yeah,
shot.
That's a fair point.
Now there,
that was a bad example.
Hold on. There are other divisions, even maybe the heavyweight division or the super middleweight division, where maybe you do see a guy a la Jermell Charlo before the loss that has one belt but has done a significant amount. I mean, if you go through Jermell's resume, leaps and bounds above Jamal's, but people don't give him credit. I mean, he fought Gabriel Rosado before fucking Peter Quillen did. So, like, you know, think
so
about
it. So it's not exactly Jermall, Charlo, Canelo, but I think that there is something to be said about these 50-50 purses. And the other thing that I would suggest that we've seen so few times in boxing, you know, let's do a 40-40 split. The winner gets 10. You know, a 40. Yeah, well, same thing. So, you know, we do these 40-40 splits, or that would be 90, I guess. My bad. Whatever. You know what I'm trying to say, right? It's that split in the middle, and the winner gets that extra 10, that extra 5, like whatever it ends up being, right? We've seen that before in boxing. We've seen it a few times, actually. I was just thinking in my head how many times we've seen it. And so that's not a bad idea. But I just don't ever see them doing it. When you got that A side, you don't want to let it go.
Well, first things first, I believe it was very, very intelligent by Frank Warren, because what he's doing essentially is putting it out there for the public to see, putting it out there for the fans to see. So if Eddie Hearn don't want to do that, and they're like, oh, no, we're not doing 50-50, the onus goes back on Eddie Hearn because he doesn't want to make the fight happen. Public perception seems like, oh, they don't want to make the fight happen because they don't want to give Fury 50-50. But same time, I believe it's a starting point, too. I don't believe that the fight is 50-50. I will give it 60-40 in Joshua's favor just because back end of the year that Fury has had, his profile has risen. But if Frank Warren wants really to capitalize on him, he try to do a Fury pay-per-view by itself in the UK and see how much it does there. Then you come back to the drawing table.
No way that happens. There's not a viable heavyweight not on Sky for Fury and BT to use for your, you know, said pay-per-view.
Joe
now,
Parker.
Now, again, other side of the street.
He's not technically on Sky, but he has a co-promotion with Dave Higgins and Eddie Hearn.
I'm not saying that he's on Sky. Who you said, Joe Parker?
Yeah, he'd be a good pick for Fury. Fury lost. He's been fighting in the UK. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know how well that would do. And then you risk having it backfire, and then him being able to say that you're not a big fan. But yeah, but you're absolutely right, though. In a perfect scenario, that would be the best route to take.
I mean,
if they had a viable option.
Listen, if
that's
kind of
what Wilder did, though. He made his own lane and come back to the drawing table. So Fury can do the same thing. Sorry, Ness, go ahead.
No, I know he could, but the problem always is going to be dance partner. And I think that the only other pay-per-view worthy dance partner for Fury is Dillian White. The story is there because Dillian White's knocked out a guy that Tyson Fury fought twice. So Dillian White could just be saying all through the press conference, all through the buildup, this man's scared of me. It took him two fights and he still couldn't do what I did in one fight. This man's scared of me. You know, I keep fighting everybody and they want me to fight more people, putting roadblocks. These men are scared of me. Anthony Joshua doesn't want to fight me. I've been wanting to fight Deontay Wilder for 2 years. They're scared of me. Like, he can build the case. Like, you know, I think it's Elms, maybe Elms or Solomon, that always saying that, you know, from the UK, they're always saying that someone's ducking Dillian White. If he acted right, he could build a case. He could get a little, you know, bandwagon behind him on this protest that he's the most devoted heavyweight. But, I mean, there's always the proof that he lowballed Luis Ortiz. So, again, you know, I always say, like, do you really want to fight when you're sending people bullshit offers?
Go here.
No. But here's the problem for me, though, and I kind of want to change the subject up a little bit. With the Joshua Fury fight, at first I said to myself, no matter what Fury does, if he fights Joshua, he fights Wilder, like, the ball's in his court. But it feels like because how easy the Wilder fight was and probably is to make, because we've heard everybody on both sides say how easy it was to work with each other, to go through these leaps, to go through these hurdles to fight Joshua, is it a duck? Like, I can't
I've
say that it is
you.
A duck because you're fighting Joshua, but at the same time, if you're struggling so much to make this fight, if you're going to cater to every one of his demands, why? Why would you do that when you have so easy?
I'm going to tell you
bigger.
Why. I'm going to tell you why. Yeah, the paycheck will be bigger, but secondly, it's still what we said two shows ago. It's still negotiation tactic. It's still jockeying for leverage, lobbying to the public for, quote-unquote, a bigger fight. You know, Britain's all-out historical heavyweight clash. It's never been done. Undisputed heavyweight boxing has never been done, let alone with two Britain heavyweights. Oh, my God. I mean, come on, dog. You got to
One thing that they could, like the story that they could sell, Fury never lost those belts in the ring. Those belts really belong to Fury, and he's coming back for them.
Well, that's the title that Nez came up with, Unified versus Lineal, and we always loved that story. So, yeah, I couldn't call it a duck, ultimately. There'd be no way. But that's just one of the things that popped into my mind when I was thinking about it.
What I don't get is the public in the forums, in the chats, in the comment sections of the articles saying Fury doesn't deserve 50-50. Now I get it. I can be, you know, Anthony Joshua's defense attorney the same way that Tyson Fury can hire me to defend his case at receiving 50-50.
Maybe 60-44.
So what I'll say is this. Tyson Fury did the unthinkable. Tyson Fury did what 99% of the UK fans thought he wouldn't do. They said he would pull out. They said this was fake. They said it would never happen. It was too early. He's on coke. He is crazy. And he went over there and he went to the United States and had a successful pay-per-view against all odds, against everything the naysayers said, predominantly UK naysayers, because they were afraid to back him, thinking he would get knocked out, thinking it was too early, thinking he was too fat, thinking it was a fat camp, thinking that Ben Davidson was too soon. But now in retrospect, seeing what he's done, get behind your guy. He's the one that fucking stood up and really waved the flag for UK and came over here and fought the monster, regardless of outcome. He did it. So why shouldn't he at least have an argument for 50-50 with the guy who refused? There's music videos of Anthony Joshua now refusing. It's ridiculous at this point. Mayweather Pacquiao never got to this point. The internet is undefeated. You can't let it linger and marinate the way that we did Mayweather Pacquiao. We didn't have smartphones in our hands for the entire 7 years. It is totally different. We have content creators out there coming for you. It's time.
Yo, okay, so I'll play the opposite side here because I agree with you. No. Well, Ness said, hey, look, just like I could play defense attorney for Joshua getting more than 50-50, I could play defense for Fury. I absolutely agree. I think there's a case to be made on both sides. And really what I'll say is I think Fury deserves 50-50, but I don't think realistically he will get 50-50. That said, on the other side of the coin is this. Look, you took a huge hiatus from boxing. Yeah, you came back. You got a draw against Wilder, okay? And that was his pay-per-view, and that was in his United States. Now you're coming back to what I'm going to call my turf. Yeah, that's right, my turf. I took this turf from you. This isn't your town. Like, these people are – this isn't your country. These people support me. I'm the Golden Goose. I'm the Canelo. I'm the Floyd Mayweather. I'm the most talked about fighter, not in just the division, not in just boxing, but in all of sports. And when it comes to the UK, all of entertainment, all of pop culture, I'm the man. And so you do not – Don't give me no buzzer.
Everything
I'm the man. So I
hold on.
I deserve a bigger chunk of the pie.
All a man in all of sports, and you saying it's facts?
I mean, I'm saying like I thought he meant like the biggest fighter in all of sports. Combat Sports, period.
I meant in UK.
Canelo is the biggest fighter. He got the biggest deal. End of story. There's no other way to judge it.
I definitely said in the UK, homie.
I don't know, man. That's debatable, baby. That's debatable right
it's
now.
It's debatable, but that's what I'm saying.
Hold on. Let me just make a
point. I know. You go nasty. How many pay-per-views did Canelo
win? No, I'm not even going to go.
I mean,
listen to me. I'm not going to pay-per-view, so he doesn't know me well. You know, that's a little weak argument. The stronger argument is AJ got picked up by Canelo first. AJ didn't get $400 million. It's just that simple. We can move on.
But we ain't arguing that. I'm arguing who deserves what.
Well, I mean, if the network that you fight for feels you are the star, that's why they gave you $400 million.
But we don't know what they gave AJ though.
We know it ain't four. You think? No, you guessing.
You can have stock options.
You just said facts. You just said talk facts. You ain't talking facts.
You could have stock options that fucking go up to.
All right. So Michael.
Exactly. Good
so Michael,
man. Great so point, Mike. That's
so,
a great point.
So Michael and Mario, the Mexican on the panel, you're telling me that DAZN's been flaunting and Canelo and Oscar's been flaunting that they are the highest paid athlete in all of sports. They have the best and the most lucrative contract in all of sports. And Eddie Hearn and Joshua sitting there with a better contract, and they're saying, we're going to stay quiet. We humble.
He had a better contract. I think he could have stock options, which could rise over time.
Canelo right now is the highest paid person in sports, but
I don't believe he's the most popular boxer. Sorry.
If it's written, you know, somewhere that he's going to get an excess of money because of stock options, well, then he would be saying it, is all I'm saying. Someone would be saying it.
Okay, here's my counter to that. Because remember, I said at the beginning that I was talking about the UK, and I could absolutely say that AJ is a bigger star in the UK than Canelo is in Mexico or the United States, because the UK has become those fans. The Mexicans were the biggest boxing fans, and they still are in terms of, I think, quantity, right? But the UK has just surpassed everything. They're diehards through and through. So I'll say this, they have more love for AJ than we do for Canelo, or probably the Mexicans do for Canelo. For Canelo. So, you know, there's still like soccer to compete with, obviously, in terms of who's the bigger star.
That's
but
why
AJ
1.3 million paid $90 to watch Canelo. 1.3 million paid $90, but we love AJ more.
I mean, I just think AJ.
I didn't say we love AJ more. I said they love AJ more.
I just think AJ is a bigger and more popular star. I mean, I'm not saying that he makes more money than Canelo, but I think he's.
And it's debatable, right, Mike? It's debatable.
Yes. I never heard nobody call Canelo Benlelo, or Samelo, or Flanello. But I have heard them call him Anthony Johnson. I have heard that.
They call him Ken Bitterall, Nello, whatever they call him.
That ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
That's a close name.
That ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about because that's hardcore fans on the internet. We're talking about live national television, okay? We're talking about live national television being called
from
Johnson.
A guy who doesn't know boxing at all, Reggie Miller.
Exactly. And how easy is it to call somebody Anthony Johnson if his name's Joshua? You're not going to fuck up Canelo.
All right.
Come on, you're going to fuck up Canelo?
No.
You got to get out of business if you fuck up Canelo.
No, it's easier to fuck up Canelo if you're not Spanish.
But real quick, though, man.
It's easier to mispronounce it.
Our resident casual 1.0, because I'm casual 2.0, like let this kid tell it. He was at a store, I believe, it was like Hugo Boss or like something like that, and he actually had like a modeling picture or modeling thing of Anthony Joshua because
he sent that picture. You're right.
He was a sponsor, and also Joshua has a billboard in New York City. So
Joshua's on that David Beckham route, bro.
He's coming, bro. He may not be the biggest star. I mean, the most pay-per-view star right now, but
he's got like the biggest upside, right?
Thank you, man. That's all I'm saying. Canelo
I just don't know if I'm on a podcast or I'm listening to audio of a fucking porno. The way you guys jerking AJ off over there.
How are we jerking him off?
Wilder has been sitting on your face on this show for the last 4 years, and you're going to talk to us about jerking someone off?
Yep.
Homie.
AJ's on your billboard. AJ's the man. AJ's bigger than Canelo.
I'm not saying all that, bro. I'm saying, like, the potential is there for him to be the biggest star in boxing. Maybe I was wrong right now, but AJ is coming. Real quick.
Okay.
Look at that.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm telling you, these dudes. Yo, you heard Mike. These dudes is jizzing over. AJ is coming. Oh, my God. Fucking weirdo.
Mario, we needed that Mexican car. We aren't sheep. I don't know what that means.
That means, Mario, stand up for your fucking people. Stop lying.
I stand up for my people all the time. I get accused of being biased all the time. I just try to give Munguia 50-50 against Hurd. Y'all ain't going to fucking accuse me of shit. But real quick, Mike, let me ask you. We just played prosecution and defense. Who won? Does Joshua deserve more of the pie, or does Fury deserve 50-50?
Oh my God. It's no question.
Bruh. They didn't even pay you to defend Joshua. Let the judge decide. I'm not saying
you
that.
Got the gavel.
Listen to me. I'm not saying that he can't decide, Mario. What I'm saying is they didn't even pay you to defend Joshua because they know that it's so easy to win the case. They have the public. When you have the people, you don't need anything else. Why do you think he wants to fight in the UK? But look,
I thought I was going against the OJ. Team right there. I thought, you had it. You were the
absolutely
man.
Absolutely not. The glove fits. AJ's the man, you know, perceived man, but that's why, you know, he doesn't want to get in there with a true test. They won't give Fury 50-50, let alone a split with BT. Because,
well, for what it's worth, I thought the argument was great that you made, honestly.
No, it's not even about the argument. It's about the truth. And the truth is, Fury poses too big of a threat. The same threat that he posed to Deontay Wilder before the fight was made. The same thing I said about him. What I continue to say, no one in the heavyweight division boxes on their toes like Fury. So
Absolutely.
He poses a threat to Anthony Joshua. So on top of that threat, why the fuck would I give you 50-50? On top of that threat, I'm going to give you 50-50 plus I'm going to go 50-50 with the networks too? Fuck no.
Let me ask you a question, Ness. Does this fight ever get big enough where Sky and BT Sports can do a Showtime and
absolutely, HBO? Absolutely. If Tyson Fury rematches Wilder, beats him, preferably by knockout.
I think it's big enough right now, though.
Man, you're crazy. You're crazy.
Yeah, I am.
Anthony Joshua has his own route, bro. Look, you want me to mention five fighters Anthony Joshua could fight right now that the public, U.S. and U.K. alike would accept, not name Fury.
All right, you're right.
Exactly. He's got options.
That's why I mentioned Fury doing a pay-per-view by himself if it wasn't going to be Wilder.
And
he has to do something.
And I'm telling you, if he doesn't do Wilder, there is nobody out there not attached to Eddie Hearn. There's no one for him. He's got no option. All he has is this option, and he's using it. Getting all of us to talk about the fact that he could possibly make the fight. Because at the end of the day, they can negotiate. This could be the beginning of negotiations, and then they're like, look, if you really want this fight, there's no way we're going to fight on BT, but here's an offer to fight on Sky. So at least they have an offer to turn around and tell Wilder, look, what you going to do? You're going to fight me an old tapper, and you're going to give me some more money? Because I got this over here, homeboy. I'll go for AJ. What you wanted to do, I can do. And you know I'm going to beat him.
I was going to say that too, man. Now, Big Baby's out there with no fight deal, right?
Yeah.
Could they possibly swing that? Would that be a big enough fight,
brother,
in the UK for the people?
Let me tell you what I ain't said all morning. I cannot wait till 12 o'clock this afternoon. Like, I need to breathe, okay? Because I want to ask Lou DiBella, the quote-unquote promoter of Deontay Wilder, a man that deals with Eddie Hearn, with Tevin Farmer, and multiple others. A man that is right there with
the WBSS, but we're just Paul Gray.
I'm saying that he's right there with Al Heyman in terms of negotiation. I'm just making the connection that Lou is a player. Regardless of what Eddie wanted to say before he popped up with DAZN and then started kissing Lou's ass all over again. Because before, Lou was nobody. He doesn't promote Deontay Wilder. He's just a shell. All of a sudden, me and Lou, we buddies because I need Farmer from you and anybody else you could give me to make DAZN good. But again, the sheep won't see that. They won't see
Absolutely.
I see it.
Go ahead, Mario.
So I just can't wait to get Lou on to ask him, are we going after Big Baby? You got a relationship with Demetrius Salida. They are from New York. You probably promoted that motherfucker when he used to fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He probably was on
That's
HBO. He probably was on HBO when Lou DiBella was the VP of HBO, for those that don't fucking know. Lou
I
had
ask a question, though.
Lou had Rosenberg's job and Peter Nelson's job. That was Lou's job. So my thing is, Lou, are you going to fucking try and get Deontay Wilder, your heavyweight, the American heavyweight, some fucking good options? Or you going to keep letting this man be mad all day on fucking Instagram and Twitter? Like,
now,
is you going to sign the undefeated Big Baby? Is you going to solidify the Anthony Joshua? Is you going to make sure we get this fucking rematch? Man, what the fuck y'all doing over there? That's what I can't wait till 12 o'clock.
Is there still a little bit of, I won't say bad blood, but, you know, a disagreement? Because there was a potential fight with Big Baby and Adam Kornacki that Big Baby did not want to take because that was his friend. And that's why ultimately he probably got away from Showtime, right?
You know what friends mean to me? You ain't paying me enough.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I understand that.
You know what I'm saying? Because I would befriend ass for the right check, nigga. And we're going to go have some smoke after that. Because I don't drink. I don't drink no beer, but nigga, DAZN come over here talking about, yo, we need you and Mike to beat each other. I'm like, give me a wheelchair. Give me a wheelchair. Make this shit even. Fuck out of here. What y'all talking about, man? Listen, money talk, bro. You want Wilder to fight AJ? Send the right price. You want Fury to fight AJ? Send the right price. You want Big Baby to fight? Send the right price. You want Big Baby to fight Joe Joyce? Send the right price. You want him to fight Naki? Send him the right price. You want him to go to Pulev, Nick? To Bulgaria? Send the right price. Where a man say, fuck it, if I lose, if they rob me, I got money. I got money. That's all it's about. Listen, we talked enough, man. Let's open up these. Oh, actually, I got to jump out to the back and get
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Do that. And let me, Mario, let me discuss this shit right quick now. Everybody knows now, if Ness getting a wheelchair, I'm going to punish his ass. Easy money. But anyway, I think that the fact that Big Baby is a free agent, that could be a big player for any heavyweight in this division. He has the opportunity to kind of sell himself to the market. He has options with Matchroom and DAZN. He can rekindle his past business partnership with Showtime and possibly get that Wilder fight. And he could be a dark horse for the Tyson Fury fight. I think that fight will be some of the best build up that we've seen in heavyweight boxing, because Fury can talk, Big Baby can talk, and that fight might shock a lot of people with the numbers that it might do over in the UK. What do you think about that?
I agree. Yeah, it could be big. It could. That's why when you brought it up earlier, I wasn't ready to say that it was not that fight. I just don't know if it will have those repercussions, though. You know, it could be great money. It could be great business. And it certainly could be a great fight. And it's certainly a great promotion. But will it have those spillover repercussions and benefits?
What do you mean?
Well, like for him to, end up being that guy that could get 50-50 with others, you know?
Now, that all depends on how successful the pay-per-view is, because, you know, Eddie Hearn going to say that Joshua last fight did probably like a million or something in pay-per-view. So if Fury can do it anywhere between 500 and more, I believe that opens the case for him to not get 50-50, but at least get a percentage to where it's respectable. Because honestly, if you are able to give Vladimir Klitschko, I believe, 35-40%, then you should be able to give Fury kind of the same thing, because he does bring that mystique of the lineal title. He does bring that mystique of being a great boxer and having a great performance against Deontay Wilder. So if you're really Eddie Hearn and you're trying to capitalize and you're trying to move AJ Ford, go ahead and give him the Fury fight. But right now we have Anthony Fowler on the line. Shout out to him.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you Anthony Fowler from the UK. It is the afternoon time over there, and we are now speaking to the red-hot prospect in the super welterweight division, signed to Eddie Hearn's Matchroom Sports, Anthony Fowler. How are you? And good afternoon, my friend.
I'm good, thank you, mate. How are you?
We're good. Happy to have you. Just want to thank you for the opportunity and, for you taking out the time. So what could you tell the U.S. boxing public about Anthony Fowler? Why, after this interview, should they get behind you, follow you on social media, and just get into everything that is Anthony Fowler, since they haven't seen you since your, let's say, your debut on DAZN? That's the first time American public has gotten to see you, unless they're hardcore boxing fans.
Yeah, well, I'm an action-packed fighter. I come to this not just to win. I come to knock my opponents out. So I've got a fan-friendly style. I'm fairly committed to my sport. I train twice a day, 6 days a week. On my social media, I try and keep the fan, the faces with me, stay life. A bit of motivation sometimes when other people feel down, don't want to go to the gym. I try and give them a boost and let them know that if I can do it, they can do it too.
So the biggest thing I've seen out there is a huge comparison to you and Carl Froch. Do you take any mentorship in being compared to Froch? And is there any story that you can give us that we might not know behind the comparison to Carl Froch?
Yeah, well, me and Carl Froch, I actually sparred Carl Froch in his world title camps. He used to have me in as a sparring partner. And we're similar fighters in the fact that we're very powerful. We've got long limbs, we've got good chins, both very strong. But it's a compliment, yeah, compared to Froch, but I'm trying to be a bit more refined, a bit more cuter than what Froch was. Obviously, Froch had a great chin. I don't want to rely on my chin. I want to improve my defence and work on other stuff. So, obviously, I'll win a lot more easier. Like the best chin in boxing, the chin that doesn't get it.
What kind of experience did sparring with Carl Froch give you? And where did the beef between Ted Cheeseman happen?
Yeah, sparring Froch, it was a great confidence boost there because I was getting the ring. I was only a young lad, 22 years of age, and I was thinking, wow, I'm sparring a world champion. So it was a big experience, and it gave me a lot of confidence because I didn't just spar him. I held my own. I was landing good shots. I was taking good shots. I remember the first time I sparred him, I got the ring and my arms were all bruised off blocking the punches. Like he punched that hard that he actually bruised on my arms. So it made me switch on that. I thought, I can't let this fella catch me because he's probably knocked me out. So I had to switch on every single round. So it was good for me mental state. And then with Ted Cheeseman, the beef started because I was just 6-0 pro trying to learn my trade, and he was like British champion 14-0 calling me out. I thought it was a bit embarrassing for him to be 14-0 calling out a 6-0 prospect. You know what I mean? So I have said to him, listen, I'll fight you now, no problem at all, but down for my team, they want me to have a few more fights. So I thought it was a bit disrespectful on his behalf to try and call out another store. Either way, I'd smash him now regardless.
How you doing, Anthony? It's Marty Munguia here. So you were my favorite kind of prospect because you were the kind that fights. You fought five times in 2018. What do you expect from 2019? Are you going to try to stay as busy, or are you going to try to make the competition level go up?
Yeah, I think this year I reckon I'll have four fights. Now that I'm doing 12-round fights, it's hard to get as many in, but when I get four fights in, I'm fighting for hopefully fighting for the title in the next fight on March the 30th against another unbeaten prospect. So this will be my first real big test. So I'll see what happens.
So who's this Scott Fitzgerald guy that keeps his your name in his mouth, right? I mean, and it seems like Sky Sports is lining him up for you in the future here in 2019, maybe the end of the first quarter. What could you tell us about Scott Fitzgerald, and will this be an action-packed fight?
Yeah, Scott's actually a former teammate. We both boxed and the amateurs together on the Great Britain squad. We both went to Commonwealth Games. He boxed at welterweight, I boxed at middleweight, and we both won gold. So he's a good fighter. He's a strong lad. So it's actually we actually was former friends, but as you know yourself, there's no friends in the ring. So business is business, and obviously now that we've been landing to fight, the friendship goes out the window, and like now it's time to fight.
why do you think these guys that are further along in their careers are calling you out and your name being attached to so many people as a prospect? I mean, and do you consider yourself a prospect?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I'm still learning. I've been pro 18 months. I've been very busy. I've had 9 fights. So I'm always in the gym. I'm always asking for more fights. I'm always asking to step up. These lads are like more experienced, but because I am the way I am, I fight, I'm exciting, and knock people out. I get people talking about me, and people on social media are talking about me. So even if these lads have more fights, more titles, I'm more well-known because of the way I am, just my style, my personality, my social media. I'm promoting myself as well as Evian.
Now, does it add anything to you? I mean, does it, I don't know, give you butterflies? Is there any nerves knowing that your fight is already essentially signed with Fitzgerald for sometime in April or March, end of March, excuse me, but you have another fight, should be having another fight before that, right?
No, my next fight will be Fitzgerald. I had a break last month, about a few weeks off, so I won't be fit until March. So I'll be fighting Fitzgerald in March, and then I want Cheeseman to fight after.
And it seems like he's scheduled for you in March, but also for about to be mentioned in February, early February. Did you notice that about Fitzgerald? Did we lose him?
Oh, man, I hope we didn't lose him. I had a question for him, baby. Damn, I had a good one. Mr. Fowler.
I think we lost him.
Maybe we did lose him. Try to bring him back on Skype, man.
Yeah, if you want to try to see if you can do that in the background, we can chop it up.
Yeah, that Skype beats him. A nice addition, bro. Nice addition. But real quick, though.
Yo,
did you
talk to Ben, homie? Yo,
I didn't talk to Ben because I already had a dude from Snack schedule.
Oh,
that's
my
I've been telling you.
Oh, my God. You know, I sent him a message.
I know I did. I know you did, but he ain't respond.
Good.
Yeah, because dude from Snack, from the Snack facility, the lead trainer, we have him scheduled at 10 o'clock. Mike Basil or something like that.
Basil.
I'm sorry, bro. You know, I'm from the damn South. It was like Basil. But anyway,
yo, I can't get mad at you. Know I mispronounce shit all day.
But back to Anthony Fowler, man. I'm telling you, man, this guy is a very, very big super welterweight. He comes in the ring, and like Mario Mejia said, he gives the fans action-packed fights. And big shout-out to my guy, UK Rob. He's one of the first guys that put me on this guy, and I have to give him credit for that. But Anthony Fowler, man, I think he's a damn good –
Who the fuck is that guy?
He's a damn good 154 prospect, and he has the potential to be world level and to possibly go up to 160 because he's very big.
Well, he's certainly fun, and it is very strange, I think. I wish we could have gotten a little more into that before the call dropped, the fact that so many people outside his level, and I'm not talking about talent, I'm just talking about the fact that he's 9-0 are calling him out. And yeah, experience, there you go. But like you got Mr. Fowler back. How you doing, Anthony? You there?
I'm still up in there.
Okay,
right. Go ahead,
how you doing, Anthony? I'm sorry, I think we lost you there for a second. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Great. Mike, I'll pass it off to you. I know you had that question.
Yeah, my question is, you are a advocate for CBD oil. I just want to know how that started and how did you start using that?
Yeah, so it was an interesting thing. I had a friend who had cancer, and he didn't have long to live. He was getting told he was that kind of thing. He had stroke cancer. Instead of taking the normal to the in England, it's called the NHS. You decided to go abroad and get treatments, use stuff like CBD oil, cannabis oil, over methods that's very like controversial. But again, it worked for him. He came home, lost a lot of weight, put all his weight back on, and he seems like he's back healthy, and he's cured himself, which I thought was amazing. So I looked into it, tried it out myself, and really helped my training. Like I should have felt like built up with aches and pains like I used to. I set up my elbows, big jar boxing, weird jar in your joints. And even the CBD, it seems like it's settled down. So I'm a job pain free, which is mad because I had it for years. But I really, really believe in it. And everyone who I've sold it to has given me back the great feedback saying it's cured the back, they can sleep better. I've literally had no negative feedback, so it must work.
And my other question is, how does the British Boxing Board of Control look at CBD?
Obviously, there's something called THC, and there's a little bit inside of CBD, only a small amount. But too much THC is illegal, so you've got to be careful that you're using the right brand that's got low THC. But most of the time, CBD is fine, and it's not a banned substance. It's completely legal.
Well, if you fight in the U.S., you will pop for marijuana. But, Mr. Fowler, I have a few questions from the public, if you don't mind. Mario, do you have anything else for him before I go to Patreon?
Yeah, real quick, I just wanted to ask you. I know it's still early in your career, and you obviously have plenty of fights in the U.K. to fight with all the people calling you out, and your next one should be a good one. But for you, is the road to the U.S. something that interests you? I mean, obviously, it's some fighters have had to come to the U.S. to make their mark. Some fighters in the U.K. have been able to stay there. Do you envision yourself coming to the U.S. and trying to make your name?
Yeah, definitely. That's always been a dream of mine, to go to Madison Square Garden, the big venues in America. That'll be a dream come true. I actually boxed in L.A. As an amateur in something called World Series Boxing. I boxed an American called Marquise Moore. He's like, I think he's undefeated now as a professional. And I boxed him and I knocked him out. And a lot of the American fans were like, made it with my style. That was 2012. But it was a great experience going over there. And like, the Americans, they love the boxing.
Before we get to this, which sanctioning body will you be trying to go down in route of a world title?
I've always wanted to get went to WBC. That's always been my dream. I first thought the WBC is the nicest belt. I'm like the most respected belt in my opinion. Obviously, any belt I'd be happy with, but I always vision the WBC in my head. Something I've always wanted.
All right, Anthony, I got some great questions from our Patreon family. One of them, I know it's going to spark a great conversation between us because I follow you on Instagram and I know how you feel on that topic, but I'll start with the first one from Texas. I'm not sure is it Texas. I think he just told me the other day it wasn't from Texas. Sorry, Trav, but Trav FDY says, I think you versus Errol Spence in the future is a great style matchup. What happens in that fight? How many rounds would it take you to knock him out?
That's a good question. Obviously, Spence is a welterweight. I'm a light middle, so we're actually with different weights. But Spence is, he's a big lad for welterweight, so he will move up one day. I think it'd be a great meeting. Our stars are gelling nicely. I really rate Spence high. I think it could go to points, and it could be a great fight for the future.
Nice.
You are a big lad for a super welterweight. How long do you see yourself staying at 154?
I feel as though I can stay at it as long as I'm disciplined. If I give myself a 12-week camp, I'm a big guy for the weight. But with my diet, I'm eating my fat, fruit and veg, plenty of water, I eat no crap, no sweets, no fizzy drinks. I'm very strict. So as long as I'm straight in my diet, I don't cheat. I can stay here as long as I want. But I do want to win a world title and then eventually move up and try and win different weights.
We got one coming from Elms in the UK. He says, we know you were a successful amateur with bronze at the World Championship and gold in the Commonwealth Games. Does that make you want to take the fast track route to a world title similar to Josh Taylor?
Yeah, obviously, George Taylor took him a shot. George Taylor's been pro a lot longer than me. He's been pro 2 years ahead of me. But then, yeah, I'd like to move a little bit faster. Like, so far, I've had 9 fights, and I haven't been tested at all. So no one's really hit me back yet where I felt a punch. Whereas in the amateurs, I was having competitive fights against countries, national things, and I enjoy testing myself and pushing myself. So at the moment, I'm winning it a little bit too easy. I'm not learning that. I need to step up. Competitions, I'm getting tested. But I like to test myself and prove to myself how good I am.
All right. And the one that I believe is going to spark some good, healthy conversation and debate comes from Joel, Prince Joel in Dubai. He says, in that situation between Anthony Joshua, Fury, Wilder, do you think Lennox Lewis and Dillian White are right by saying that Anthony Joshua is afraid of those two and Joshua always fights mediocre opponents?
I think that's a little bit harsh on Joshua. He's a veteran who I really think is a good fighter. I know he's a bit old, but veteran's a great fighter. He's beat Klitschko. He's beat Joseph Parker. They were all world champions. But I feel as though with Joshua and the Fury and Wilder need to understand that Joshua is the A-side. Like Floyd Mayweather used to always say, I'm the A-side. Like Joshua has got 3 belts. He's the A-side. So they should give him more money than what he's getting, where they deserve 50-50, but that's not the case. And at the end of the day, I know boxing's a sport, but it is business. Joshua should be getting the lion's share of the money because he holds all the cards. He sells out 90,000 seats. He's got 3 belts. He's like, along with Canelo, he's the face of boxing. So they should understand that Joshua, he holds all the cards, and they should take a little bit less money and think, of Josh Fowles, then I'll be the A-side.
And our last question, just what do you think on the Frank Warren situation where he outlined the proposed way that Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury could clash? He said that they could share pay-per-view by splitting everything down the middle and doing what Americans do when Manny Pacquiao and Mayweather fought, where HBO and Showtime, you know, came together and did a split pay-per-view, both aired the fight. He wants BT and Sky to get together, do it right down the middle, 50-50. Do you think Tyson deserves that since he came to America? And, you know, perception in the UK is that he beat Deontay Wilder. Does he earn a 50-50 deal? Or at least, if not percentage in purse, should the fight be shown on both Sky and BT? Or is this a fight where whoever fights Joshua has to fight on his turf, his terms, his network?
Yeah, it's a good question, Matt. I feel as though, like I said, Joshua is still the A-side. I know Fury should have beat Wilder. In my opinion, he won the fight by two points. But like I said, Joshua still is the A-side. Joshua still wants to hold the card. Josh is going to want it. Every aim will want it on Sky pay-per-view and give Fury a percentage of that. As I said, as though when Fury will make more money against Joshua than he will against anyone else, regardless if Joshua earns more. But I think Fury should just say, you know what, I'll take what you've given me and I'll beat you and I'll take the belts. That's what he should do. If I was Fury, I'd just take him on the chin. That, like I said, Joshua is the A-side.
Well, Anthony, I want to thank you, obviously, for giving us the opportunity to interview you here on The Boxing Voice. We're going to continue to follow your career. We're excited for your upcoming fights. Happy to see a very, you know, polarizing prospect coming up the ranks. Can you give out your social media for anybody who isn't following and can do so? Because you are active on your Instagram and, you know, it's a pretty good follow. You know, you keep people entertained because you're not just posting stuff of yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm actually a boxing fan. As well as a fighter, like I do generally enjoy talking to fans about the fights because I am a big fan. So I try and just like keep it not just all about me. I don't want to posting like just me doing selfies and me training. I like to be a fan and put it out there and what I'm thinking about. And what, like, for example, today I put up a Mia Khan fighting Crawford. I think that's massive respect for Khan to fight Crawford. He could fight Cal Brook in the UK and earn more money, but he's chasing that world title against Crawford. He's an unbelievable fighter, so I've got a lot of respect for Khan for that.
Does he have a shot?
Get that made.
You said get that made?
Hello?
Yes.
Does Amir Khan have a shot against Terrence Crawford, or is he over in over his head?
I think Crawford's a level above. Like, Crawford's one of my favorite fighters. He can box orthodox, southpaw. He can come forward. He can box backwards. He can do it all. He's a great body puncher. I think Crawford's something special. I think he will outclass Khan, but respect to Khan for taking the fight.
Real quick question for you. Crawford versus Keith Thurman or Errol Spence, who you got and why?
It was that Crawford Spence. I think when Spence boxed Kell Brook, I felt so the first six rounds, Kell Brook was out boxing Spence. Obviously, Spence is a good body puncher and he wore down Brook towards the end, but I think Crawford, without box, Spence a little bit more. I think it'd be a close fight. I think Spence is a stronger man, bigger man, but I think Crawford's skills takes it on points for me.
Well, Mr. Fowler, thank you again for your time, and we can't wait to get you back on soon after you get that win and do your victory lap.
Thanks a lot, mate. Nice speaking to you, lads. See you.
Thank you, brother.
All the best.
Enjoy the day.
Thank you, sir.
There you have it. Anthony Fowler from the UK, super welterweight, doing his thing. You know, he's made us aware of him by one way or another. You know what I mean? Like, whether you're following him on Instagram, whether a friend told you about him, whether you watched his last fight on DAZN and was impressed. He's coming, right? Like most people, we want to follow all these prospects on their way up. New prospect that I'm going to be looking into, just signed with Lou, Jude Franklin, I believe, welterweight. See what he has. Start checking, taking a look at him. We're going to be having Lou today at 12 p.m. And in a few minutes, we should not have Conor Benn. We should be having Mike Basil from Snacky Snack Snack. Mike's going to have him call straight into the switchboard and text me the numbers that I need to see to know that he's on.
We're not going
to
have Mike Basil.
Oh, we're not. Okay, perfect, perfect, perfect. So let's get to the callers. All goody. You know what I'm saying?
Real quick, I want Anthony Fowler, very exciting fighter. If you haven't seen him, go on YouTube and watch him. He's a all-action fighter, and he has power. So he gets guys up out of there.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I hate when – I'm watching a guy for the first time on like an undercard pay-per-view or DAZN, and then they impress, and I'm like, yeah, why the hell didn't I hear about this guy? Like, I went to go see some of the other fights that I could see. Not a lot of them were very good quality, but they were like handheld cams. But I saw some of his amateur fights too while the Patreon questions were going on. He is super action-packed. He does remind me of Frosch a little bit, but I don't know if that was his older style, like, you know, if he's changing, because he kind of said he's making his own ways now, but super exciting guy. Definitely a gentleman. He didn't say much bad stuff about anybody that didn't say anything bad about him.
Man, you mean to tell me we got 435 watching and only 105 thumbs up? You motherfucker gonna be watching YouTube and fucking Pelican Bay. Keep fucking with me. You keep fucking with me.
You need some gun soundbites.
I need a motherfucking Denzel soundbite.
You're trash with your soundboard over there, but
nigga,
you know,
trash me with your face.
You trash with your debates,
nigga. I'm a debate to you and all of us.
Yes, please.
Y'all better smash that thumbs up because I'm coming for this anytime, every time. I always win. One on one, never lost.
Lies.
Never lost.
Let's get out to Washington, D.C. Jay Hardcore. Get ready.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at ElCaminoElectricalServices.com.
Dollar D Beyonce Productions.
Boxingwords.com.
Yo, what's up, my TBV family? How y'all feeling today?
Good morning, good morning. What up?
It's all good, man. I mean, shit, man. We finally get to talk about the heavyweight division again. Remember not too long ago, man, the heavyweight division was so dark we wasn't hearing nothing, and the welterweights were running the whole boxing game.
Yes!
Man, we back to reality again now, man. We actually get to talk about the heavyweights. Hey, I was sitting there when I was reading that article where Frank Warren was talking about that thing. I was like, damn. In another article, he was just saying in the same day that him and PBC, I mean, not PBC, Wilder's people were negotiating the fight, and it's looking good, and we're looking like the summer for Vegas. But then you turn the page, you see this as well. And I think he just put that out there just for advice on the Wilders people saying, you know, we got options, you know what I mean? So, I don't know, because then another thing he said is that Joshua people haven't heard from them whatsoever. He said, Hearn said that he was talking to Tyson Fury, but he said, I'm the promoter, so if you ain't talking to me, we ain't doing nothing. So I think he was just putting that out there for public fillers and also a little advice on the Wilder camp, you know, to make things happen, which I hope that's what we get. I want to see Wilder Fury again. That's what I want to see. And I just can't see Hearn and them taking that Fury fight right
cut
now.
It.
Because
cut
I
it.
Think that.
Cut it. Cut it.
Jay, minute 30.
Drive-by.
You already know morning shows get a minute 30. Thank you for calling in. Use that boomerang status. Guys, thoughts on his call? He read the article. Actually, Jay is a mastermind.
Yes, sir.
And it was him and Mike, you know, that brought this article to my attention. So shout out.
Well,
to
I think he's absolutely right. And that was one of the things that killed the whole debate that we had going, because you had kind of said it, too. It was like tactics. And that's what I think it is. It's tactics, because Frank Warren is the master of tactics. He's done this plenty of times in the past, from big fights to small fights. He's always put in fillers out there and gauging responses. And to me, I don't think any fight's set. I think he's going to go with whichever one he can get the most clout with. So very perceptive, Jay.
I know you said something about Jay, but when you said mastermind, it just triggered me. Man, we got to check on Javi, bro. Alabama got their ass kicked last night. I don't know if Javi turned pooky or not.
Oh, shit.
They got their
what? Yo, you know you love that remix. Yeah.
They got their,
yo, the way they them. Got AJ in there like, day. Yo, I love that shit went viral. Finally, boxing got one, B.
Yes,
finally,
sir.
Like, we got one. Let me go to Boomerang Status, R&V. What up? R&V on Skype.
What's good? What's up? My bad. You know that Skype shit, I take better.
Nah, it's all good. Good morning, brother. How are you?
What's good? Play A. Hey, next, you notice what Mike didn't ask about Thurman. He asked about Spence.
Well, you crazy, motherfucker. I said, nigga, what you think about Keith Thurman and Spence, homie? Don't do me, Pippen.
Hey,
go back on the tape. Go back on the tape, homie.
Mike, you took 45 minutes thing the other day. But anyway, man, you know, I love this stuff. Even though, you know, if Tyson Fury go the other route, I know what it's about. They get scared of that last-minute knockout. They don't want that joint to happen again, so they got to cash out before they look – before they in a wheelchair.
Damn, but that was almost a wrap till you ended in wheelchair. Damn, say that shit one more time. We're gonna drop a beat over that shit. You gotta change the last wheelchair though. That wasn't rhyming. Everything else accidentally rhymed.
That was a freestyle, so I don't even know what the fuck I just said. But anyway,
off top of the head, goddamn.
Yeah, off top of the song. Thank you, Mike. I'm glad you recognize. Don't touch this song. But yeah, man, this is a beautiful thing. You know, if you're gonna play games like that, at least to put the pressure on Wilder people, because I need his people to start speaking a little more and start putting more articles out there, because they forgetting the reason why all this stuff gets stirred up is because of Wilder. If Wilder is not part of this ignition of reigniting the heavyweight division, guess what? Josh will be over in London fighting them bums every day, and we wouldn't be having all this talk. So I think everybody from the UK to Africa need to thank Wilder for all this, because he the one who started. Because what you say yesterday, Mario? If you go through all five of them, you got to be a dog.
Got to be a dog.
All right. That's my call. Deuce. Boomerang later.
Damn, right on the motherfucking 130. Good call. Great call. Calling in. Thank you for calling in. We got Jonathan Miranda on Skype. Talk to me.
What up, Big John?
Jonathan?
You don't want to talk today?
Miranda? Miranda?
I don't want to talk to you either, then, homie.
Well, all righty then. We got Jose on the boomerang status.
Champagne, popping all this rosé, getting money like Jose. King Cole, Norway, 41 step full play. I'm like, no way, gotta rock like Coldplay, killing it.
OJ,
getting cheese like Green Bay. Call me Aaron Rodgers, hopped out that Dodger, dodging them cops. My boy got
Jose.
Yo, yo, guys. Good morning, good morning.
Yo, yeah, it's really morning for you. It's only 8, right? You're 2 hours behind us.
Yeah, I've been listening to the whole show, though, man. It's so good. You know, and just as promised, I said I would upgrade in the new year, and I did. Because, you know what, I was looking for every excuse possible to not follow through, but you guys just kept on doing your thing. So, man, I have to do it. What can I do, man? So, good on you, boys. You know what? And keep pulling that money out of people's wallets, man, because if you guys keep on doing what you're doing, we'll have no choice but to keep on supporting you guys, right? So good job. As per the Anthony Joshua like fiasco, it's good, man. I think we're gonna see all three of these guys fight each other, man. So, and we still got Big Baby and Ortiz on the side, and Dillian White too. So like the heavyweight division is more exciting than it's been, at least since I've been a big boxing fan, right? I can't remember it ever being this good. So. Maybe not the talent and the quality that other generations had, but man, we got what we got, right? So happy with that. And don't forget, guys, we're only a week and a half away from a great fight too, man. So I want to hear a lot of hype about Pacquiao Broner too, man. Don't be haters, people. That's a great fight too. That's all I got, boys. Peace.
Well, all right, Jose, thanks for calling in.
Real quick, man, if you ain't on Patreon, man, you're playing yourself. So go over to the patreon.com/theboxingvoice and check us out. Yesterday, me and Ness, if y'all think I might get emotional on this shit on here, but we had a conversation about the whole R. Kelly shit that was going on that's been going viral. And it's very, very interesting. You know what I'm saying? Very, very interesting. Also,
yeah, we chopped it up pretty good.
Yeah. Also, if you really want to support the Boxing Voice, go over to theboxingvoice.com. And click on the affiliate sponsors link. We have an Amazon link on there. All you have to do is click on it, bookmark it, save it, do all your shopping through that link. It costs you absolutely nothing, but we do get a little kickback for you using that link. Thank you so much. Let's get back to the callers. Or get to Mario.
Who's Mario? Another Mario?
No,
I'm just fucking with you.
All right, well, let's see Skype. I think we got Patrick on the line. Talk to me.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
How are you, brother?
I'm a long-time listener, and I've been a avid listener over the past few years and decided to call in today. So I've got 2 points, guys. One, I think this is one of the most credible shows in terms of us boxing fans. So I do think we should give it the credit it deserves and pass the right information to the public. By that, I mean, you know, for example, you mentioned before, okay, AJ signed with DAZN. You know, I know the panel knew that he only had a 1-fight contract with DAZN. Yeah, so I think most of us avid boxing fans comes to this show for a lot of boxing content and news. So I'm just saying, guys, I know you like to play devil's advocate, et cetera, but I do think you're big enough now as a show to make sure you have the right details.
So wait, what is it that you feel that we didn't say?
No, I'm just saying in general, we're arguing on a point around, okay, Canelo is a big, got a $300 and odd million contract with DAZN. What did AJ got? But as I said, we all knew that he only had a one-fight deal for the Povetkin fight. He hasn't signed a long-term contract with the Zone as yet.
Exactly. So, they still, till this day, haven't offered him a bigger contract than Canelo.
So the problem here is that there's two ways to look at it, Nez. Has the Zone offered him a contract, or is AJ, who is massive enough to be keeping his options open? In terms
you don't
of
turn down 300 million, though, homie. Motherfucker, I'll be 300 million. You don't say no to that shit.
Listen, but that's still your interpretation. At the end of the day, on Black and White, there's only one athlete that's received close to $400 million from DAZN. I'm sorry.
But the fact remains is, so do you think DAZN wouldn't want to offer Joshua a massive contract?
I don't have to think because they haven't. Until they do, we don't need
Ness
to speculate.
Is Black and White. Period.
I get you, Ness, but can I make one point? And I know you've got time.
I'm giving you extra time. We said 1:30. You're already on 42 seconds left. Go for it.
Okay, really appreciate that, guys. But the point I'm trying to make here is that I think AJ is a big enough personality within the world of boxing and sports. Is that currently I don't think DAZN and Sky Sports wanted to clash in terms of the rights and all of these things which AJ has as a commodity. So I think at the moment, because AJ was mainly focused on the British market, it wasn't a massive issue for them to sign a massive contract with DAZN. When AJ moves and starts fighting in America, which I think will be this year, very soon, I think you'll see him sign a massive contract with DAZN. Or he decide to go with someone like Showtime.
All right, Patrick. I did give you way over 3 minutes when you're only supposed to get 1:30. There's people pay for that, and you only speculated. But I wanted to give you as much time to try and allegedly tell the fans the true information, because you don't want us misleading, because the show is big. But then when questioned, we truly weren't misleading. We were giving the facts, the black and white. You, on the other hand, want to paint a picture that there is this offer on the horizon, which I'll tell you, I believe that there could be. But at the end of the day, there's only one guy, one face, one name, and his name is Canelo Alvarez, close to $400 million. That's what he's gotten. There's only one guy that can say that. There's only
Patrick
one guy.
Patrick was just giving his interpretation of what he thought was going to happen. And I mean, that's what the show does. We provoke thoughts. So there we go for Patrick.
Absolutely why he, got the opportunity to say that on this very biased show. You know, many people try to paint, paint this show as biased, yet people like Patrick, who's the first time caller, not a Patreon, hasn't paid for Boomerang Status, got over 3 minutes for free to debate a assumption.
It was a good point,
no
too.
Facts,
let me tell you who's biased, though. Let me tell you who's biased.
No facts, though.
These damn boxing fans biased, because we report on everything. But only certain things get those people to come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How biased are we?
Exactly. Let me go to these callers. We're going to KO'd on the Boomerang Status. Good morning, afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Can you guys hear me?
Whoa, you got to get that mic fixed, homie. What's up? You on conference call over there? He got the whole office listening to us.
Is it bad?
It is bad. It's better for you to listen than talk.
Let me fix it. I'll call you.
All right. Let's go to Javier Mastermind. Good morning.
Oh, we got Javier in the building. I thought for sure you weren't calling in.
Another one on speaker.
Alabama got him hot.
You on something? I hear your car flying down the highway.
That's not my problem, man. I'm not on speaker, so leave me alone. Anyway.
Leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Yo, we was just wondering, was you okay?
Bruh, I was working. Damn, niggas can't even work no more.
It was Mike that put that in the air. I never thought anything was wrong. He made me believe that.
Man,
I'm just trying to make sure, nigga, you weren't, no one's saying, skipping work, no one's saying, turning pookie somewhere.
Nah, ain't doing none of that. I gotta get this money. Hey man, stop trying to take over my call, asking about my life and shit. Anyway, back to
I'm concerned about you, man. You are my friend.
This nigga keep talking. Shut up, bro. I'm good. Can we talk boxing, nigga?
Get it, Javi. Get it.
Damn, this ain't the college football voice, nigga.
I love you, brother. I was trying to show you some love, man. But you,
anyways, my nigga, can I get
you? Let your other brother back.
You leaving Javi with 30 seconds,
bro. Like, can
I got you, Javi.
I got
you.
Fuck my whole call up, bro.
I got you.
But as far as the UK calling, y'all gonna restart the whole clock. But this is cool.
Damn, bro.
You gonna restart?
Yo, why you sounding like Optimus Prime right now, going through them Alabama highways or them back
roads?
I really,
Hey, Optimus.
Boy, God don't like ugly, man. Get the nigga off here.
Hey, Bumblebee, call us when you're ready, B.
Get him out of here, B.
Let's go to NO in the New Orleans. Where's his intro at? All right, let's see if we got this.
Ladies and gentlemen, I like to introduce to you a young fella. And he comes from the Magnolia.
Ooh. Good morning, fellas. Good morning. It's morning time over here where I'm at, Jeremy. You know what I'm saying? See, bro, deal with these. Hey, Ness, you missed, I ain't gonna lie, I put it on that last minute, man. You missed my question on that Patreon, bro. I wanted to see what the dude Fowler thought about the Mel Kahn and Anthony Joshua situation, bro. I wanted to see what the take was on that shit.
You know, you came in on that Patreon question when we was telling him pieces and goodbyes.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to get on that list.
I got to turn that notification on. Turn them on. Make sure your notifications on your iPhones and on Android. So whenever, you know, I drop something, you get that little notification so you can put that up. I mean, I did
make these,
I think, 2 in the morning, though. I was up. You know, I'm always working. When they sleeping, I'm working.
Right. I like to come in a little late though, cause I don't want to ask nothing somebody else asked already. I don't like to, like, you know what I'm saying, be repetitive and shit like that. But on the zone situation, bro, I just heard like something that was interesting. Man, the zone is from my knowledge. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but the zone, they kind of trying to get the U.S. market. From what I know about it, it ain't about the UK. They focus on the U.S. market. So the reason why Anthony Joshua didn't get a contract like Canelo Alvarez was, nobody knows him over here in America. They gave the money to the biggest U.S. attraction. You know what I'm saying? So that's why Canelo got the money. They're not going to give Anthony Johnson a contract worth that kind of money, man, because nobody knows. Whoever was confused about that, that's the answer to that question. That's why Canelo gets the big bus, because he's the biggest star in boxing, period. In the UK and in the US.
Cut it.
Yo, I gave you more time, too. This is exactly why I tried to pass the bell on to one of these two co-hosts, because I'm too sensitive. You know, I always feel like, damn, I gave this guy time and no alumni. He deserved more time. But damn, he made some good fucking points. We overlooked that. This is why this show is amazing, bro. It's not from a conceited standpoint or a big-headed standpoint. It's because we're so huge. The globalness of the show. I mean, look how he painted a different picture, which makes me see it from a different aspect, and I believe he's right. It's like if DAZN is trying to compete with Showtime, HBO, ESPN, they're not going to give Anthony Joshua, who's huge in the UK, a big deal. Because now if they was trying to compete with Sky, yeah, they would try and take him away from Sky. But shout out to you, B.
Great points.
Man, that was a wake-up call at the very end of the show right there. He hit me with something good.
On top of that, that was a great call. Shout out to
you. You know who needs Patreon status now? What was that last dude they called?
Which one?
I don't know, someone that just was like, oh, that was the dude.
Patrick?
First time call. Yep. Patrick. Patrick needs Patreon status so that he could call in and really combat what was just said.
Absolutely.
Because that was good. I mean, I would like to hear someone debate that one.
Yeah, it's hard to – because when Patrick called in, I was thinking, no, he's absolutely right. Like, because he's right. As far as facts go, we left out the fact – we keep talking on the show sometimes, like if DAZN and Anthony Joshua are, like, locked at the hip when it's not really the truth. There's speculation there, and where, as Ness said before, where there's smoke, there's fire. But yeah, that's a tough way to debate that shit right there. And okay with that fire.
We need some fucking answers, Eddie. We need to know if Anthony Joshua contractually signed to anybody for his U.S. rights.
Well, regardless, I think that Mr. Lou DiBella, who we're having at 12 p.m. Eastern, is going to be able to answer.
Yo,
a lot of questions for us.
Exactly why, regardless of status, we're switching to drive-by. We're probably going to go to 30 seconds because we're getting too close to the Lou DiBella interview, and we need to truly prepare for that. I don't know if I got your number or not, bro, but for whatever reason, I don't. I don't know why this stupid dog doesn't keep saving, but 562-685. Who are you? Yo, we need that sound.
Yo, what's
right
up,
there.
Man?
Perfect. Who's this?
It's Jonathan, the one that earlier from Skype.
Oh, this is your first time calling in on the line, though?
Yeah. I was having some issues with Skype, so I just figured I'd call in on here.
No. Perfect. I just want to make sure you never called in on Blog Talk before because I thought I – whatever. Go ahead, Jonathan. Take it away.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, first of all, Happy New Year's. Thank you all for being consistent with this. I never really heard of Anthony Fowler until today, so he might have just gained a new fan.
And I think Anthony Joshua and Eddie Hearn are the two biggest snakes right now. I mean, he's really – AJ's playing the Mayweather game.
Drive-by. Cut it.
Damn, that's right. Yo.
Cut it. Jonathan. Yo, but I'm going to finish that for Jonathan because
that's
what I was going to say earlier.
All right, go ahead, Jonathan. He probably wasn't listening in his transition from Skype to Blog Talk. But, Jonathan, we switched to drive-by because we got a Lou DiBella interview that's very important. So go. Hurry up.
All right. No, I just want to say he's playing the Mayweather game. He's going to wait it out. He's going to beat them when they're old and fragile. That's
all
about
right.
it. I'll call in next time.
All right. Well, call
I
in
thought
at
he was talking about networks.
Call in at 12 o'clock. Javier, go. Javier letting the clock just wear out.
I'm not ready. Go. Pass him.
Oh,
he ain't ready.
God. KO, go.
Yo, can you guys hear me now?
We hear you. It's bad, but we're going to take it. Go for it. Go.
All right. There's something I want you guys to check out on ESPN, the website. There is a list of 100 top athletes, you know, and obviously ESPN.
KO, just put that link on so we can find it exactly after you tell us what it is. Put the link in the community page on Patreon.
Okay, we'll do. But on that site, Joshua is number 46. Guess where Canelo is?
Where?
58.
And what is this list?
That's the most famous athletes, world athletes.
Well, all right. I mean, we're definitely going to need a link to that. And
I believe that
we'll
because
see.
Canelo's more famous throughout United States and Mexico, and I think Joshua has surpassed him globally. I could rock with that.
We'll see. I mean,
Quick one. Guess who's not on that list?
Deontay Wilder.
And Fury. And they won 50-50. They should get out of here. Come on.
That's a good point.
It's simple. It's really simple.
You know we love you. I know you're Patreon and Boomerang, but we got to go. We got Lou DiBella all up on us, and we got to get the right questions. And if you want to put the right questions, you already know what you got to do. KO knows what he can do because he's already part of the family. Are you? Do you want to ask Lou something? And I mean Lou DiBella. Head on over to theboxingvoice.com, and you'll see a huge Patreon button that says support us on Patreon. And if that's too hard to do, just come on over to patreon.com/theboxingvoice and become a TBB patron and allow yourself to indulge in many, many exclusive extras. I mean,
Saturday, it's up already, though, Ness, the question?
Yeah, absolutely. The post has been up.
Because Jay Hardcore was asking about it.
Post has been up for days. I keep telling you, got to scroll down. Until Patreon makes it more YouTube-ish layout, you got to scroll. Unlimited scrolling, though. Scroll down, and you'll find numerous posts, but there's also tags, though. When you scroll, you'll see the tags to the left. Use the tags to click on podcast. That'll always bring you to the latest podcast that we do, whether that's Untitled, whether it's like today. You know, you got to stay notified, because today we should be doing a film study sometime today. It might be late in the evening, maybe early in the afternoon, because we got so much on our plate, or we might have to reschedule due to the Lou DiBella interview, but you won't know that unless you stay notified. Then Wednesday, we have Prospect Wednesdays, which we already have scheduled. Stephen Ortiz from Philadelphia, trained by Jason Sosa's trainer, Tevin Farmer's trainer, Thomas Lamana's trainer, so many people's trainers. So yeah, you know, we'll have him on the show. We got so much set up. 12:30 Thursday, we have the Manny Pacquiao, Adrian Broner live conference call. We'll be right here. You'll be able to hear it as you've done all the other conference calls. And hopefully we get a question like we've gotten all the other conference calls. Yeah, man, I want to thank everyone that tuned in this morning. All the new signups, we've gotten a 26%, Mike. We moving, Mario. We moving. So I want to thank everybody that continue to support. You're going to see a lot more from TBV. As the last caller said, or the second to last caller said, you know what I mean? He had to sign up. He had to join because of the consistency, and it won't stop here on the live channel and on the exclusive Patreon page as well, which you'll guaranteed to get minimum 5 pieces of content per week. Minimum, because Saturday I went live completely solo when both Mario and Mike were sleeping like babies.
I was sleeping, I'm not going to lie. Hey, listen, you can catch me at Mario Munguia on Twitter, at Mario Munguia on Instagram. We're doing this every day. We're staying as consistent as possible, except for Saturday, obviously. And so, you know what I mean? Rock with us. We're doing this. And I should say, I hope I'm not speaking out of line, that we will have the Fury Wilder tape review
today. I think Mike found the fight. Mike, did you find the fight?
Yeah, we found it.
Well, we doing it, cause
then we
Mario,
doing it. We
Mario,
doing it.
Mario got to prove his 10-2 scorecard. So after Mario gets out the gym or something, we'll be pinning him down to his fake, fabricated scorecard.
Come get me. Come get me on Patreon.
Real quick, man. Real quick. Big up to Anthony Fowler for coming on the show, man. We appreciate your time. Really excited to see where your career goes. Also, big ups to everybody that comes out in the chat every day and talks shit, everybody that shows up for the show, and everybody that smashed the thumbs up button. Follow me on IG at Gross1911 or on Twitter at Gross2312, and definitely go over and follow the Boxing Voice on IG, because we keep shit popping over there.
Yo, Mario, you got an alumni fan just said, remember when Mario was rapping on air, shout out Fern Gully, pick me up in the airport in L.A.
Mario, go ahead and bust a quick 8 right quick.
Always,
I know you
always
got it in you.
Yo, Fern Gully always got the pre-roll ready for a kid with the lace keef around the cone, raw cone. My homie Fern Gully. Mario, you going to give him one? I'm saying, though. I'm saying,
quick
though.
8? You want him an 8?
Nah,
I do.
What's a hot phone? What's a hot phone?
Hey, yo, I know Mario.
I bust
been,
a hot
I know
2.
Mario been writing something, too, because he knew this day was coming. He acting like
he
wasn't.
I know he got something for us.
He
got something in the bag.
I'm
going to
say something like this. Listen. Joshua, Wilder, Fury, stop with that fuck shit. Ness, Mike, stop interrupting. Yo. You can't handle my bars. That's why my stash is a thing. Ness is Hulk Hogan turning heel. He's trash in the ring. That's for my WWE fans right there. My WCW fans, my bad. They going to get that, I promise.
Hulk Hogan, you trash in the ring.
You remember that shit, right? You remember that shit? You trash in the ring. I'm just
saying. Oh, yeah, baby. Mike, quit interrupting, nigga.
I take it back.
It was I. It was aight.
It was cool.
Hey, that was just like literally off the top. Like
it was aight. I like the little slow,
I come back with something.
I like the little slow flow, but at the same time, I'm sure some of the audience was like, wait, is he like losing his train of thought? Boom. Okay, he still got it. And then it's like, wait, he's about to lose it again. Oh, he still got it. So it's like, you know what I mean? Flow is supposed to be a little more consistent, but I get it. Whatever. Catch us on the next one. We out.
Peace.
Yo, so I'll wait for
should have been like slow flow, doho. I turn your bitch.